بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يستدعي طلابي سماع السكن كوتا والسكن سطارة والبيت تل هاف فرس هاف اوف the third part. The crux of Israel's message from the Quran was that do not be like the Bani Israel who showed ingratitude and show your gratefulness and make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be like Ibrahim alayhi salam who always persevered and he made sabr and he was very loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Burhanuddin rahimahullah mentioned in his kitab Nazmul Durar fi tanasub al-ayat wa durar. He mentions that in Surah Baqarah there are nine subject matters. The first subject matter is regarding the mu'min and the kuffar. The second subject matter is regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation and qudrat. The third is deliverance of law to the Bani Israel. The fourth, the test which came to Ibrahim alayhi salam. The first, cancellation of previous adyan, qad nara taqallub. Sixth, the test which will come unto believers. Number seven, deliverance of law to Muslims. The eighth subject matter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge. And the ninth subject matter is also regarding the believers. He further explains regarding the beauty of the Quran. He says that the Allah Ta'ala has placed and connected each verse and each mazmoon to each other in such a way which forms like a mirror image. Like how the person has a necklace or a ring. So right in between will be the stone or the diamond. Thereafter there will be designs on either side of the ring. On the design which is on the direct right hand side of the ring, we will find the same design on the direct left side. Then the design which is in the middle, we will find it on the other side also in the middle. Similarly, in many surahs of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the mazamir in this way. Like how in Surah Baqarah, the first mazmoon was Allah ta'ala spoke about the mu'mineen. So the last suruku also Allah ta'ala speaks about the mu'mineen. Amana Rasulullah bin Abu. May Rabbi wa al-Mu'minun. Allah Ta'ala spoke about the ghaib ijmal. Thereafter in the last suku, Allah Ta'ala opened it up. O malayikati wa kutubi wa rasubi. Then the second mazmoon is linked to the second last mazmoon of Surah Baqarah. Which is Allah Ta'ala speaks about his creation. Ya ayyuhan nas wa'budu rabbakum. And the second last mazmoon from this side, Allahu la ayatul kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Thereafter the third mazmoon was the deliverance of law to Bani Israel. And over here, the third last mazmoon was the deliverance of law to the mu'mineen. Kutiba alaykumul qisas. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala mentions the test which came on Ibrahim alayhi salam. And on this side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the test which will come unto the believers. Now, this is like a design. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala brings the middle mazmoon, which is like how you see the diamond on the ring. And that is where Allah Ta'ala speaks about the qibla, where the message is cancellation of all other adyan. And similarly is the case when it comes to Ayat al-Kursi. In Ayat al-Kursi, there are also very nine waqf. So the first waqf, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Allah Ta'ala speaks about his greatness. And the last waqf of Ayat al-Kursi also ends in this manner, wa huwa al-aliyyul azim. Then the second waqf, Allah Ta'ala speaks, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. And here also the second last is لَا يَعُدُهُ حِزْهُمَا. Then the third word is لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And the third last is وَسِيَ كُرْسِيُّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Thereafter مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. And on this side also لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِشَيْءٍ عِنْدِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. And thereafter is the middle diamond which is يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says he knows everything, whatever is ahead, whatever is behind, Allah Ta'ala knows everything. So in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the rabt of the ayat and the mazamir of the Quran in the most beautiful manner. In this first ruku of the second quarter, Allah Ta'ala speaks about bir. And in this, Allah Ta'ala has spoken about bir. Bir means it's a very encompassing word which includes all types of righteousness, piety, etc. And it is from this verse that the five branches of Iman are established. That is, akhlaq, ibadat, mu'amalat, mu'asharat. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes and another speaks about all the bir in detail. Allah ta'ala starts off by saying, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykumul qisasu fil qatl. That concerns the primary concern of a person in his life. So in order for the life of a person to be saved, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks that if anybody was killed a certain person intentionally, then he will also be killed. There are many details to this. The details of this is mentioned in the fiqh kitab. And Allah Ta'ala says that when you will take this kitab, there is life for you. There is life for everybody else. And now if somebody else will intend to kill somebody out of anger, he will hold back because he knows the outcome of this. After mentioning about kitab, Allah Ta'ala mentions about wasiyat. That now when you will make your wasiyat, when you will make your will, this is something which you're told to say, give life to your heirs and your family members. Especially in this country we are living in, it is extremely important for all of us to have a will. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said in one hadith, it is not appropriate for a Muslim that he spends two nights except that he makes up his will. When it comes to a will, a person has to include his qada salah, qada fard, and if a person is traveling somewhere, and he's got some important documents behind him, so he can still make a phone call, he can ask his relatives to bring it. But once a person is on the other side, and now he has some house on his name, he never mentioned it. Or he never makes a will, especially in a country which is not an Islamic country, the laws of Islam are not here. So what happens is, after a person passes away, the thing is distributed according to the South African law. And this is something which is impermissible. Thereafter, especially if there's minors also in a person's heir, then what happens is, the money which goes to the minor is put into a guardian fund. And thereafter, once it's in a guardian fund, it brings interest. And thereafter, the pure wealth which you left behind will all become contaminated. Therefore, it is extremely important for all of us to have a will. After mentioning the ruku of kitab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about fasting. That now, one is, in society, you want peace, you want security. But now also there has to be that peace and that your relationship has to be secure with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, O insan, what is there for you? So Allah has mentioned that I have described fasting for you. That now when you will fast, normally there are two enemies of a person. One is nafs and shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the shaitan I will take care of. In the month of Ramadan, I will lock him up. But when it comes to the nafs, by you fasting, the nafs will also become weak. That is why Rasulullah s.a.w. mentioned in one hadith that, oh youngsters, that if you have the urge to get married, and if you have the means, and get married. And if you cannot, then fast. Alaykum bisiyam. When I say that here, Nabi alayhi salam mentioned a whole to fasting. It doesn't mean a person fasts one day or 2 days, but rather continuously for a period of 40 days or more, a person will have to keep a fast. Allah Ta'ala says the maqsad and the whole reason for fasting is la'allakum tattaqun. So that you may get the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout the year, a person feels that I cannot uphold the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala is saying that, oh my banda, leave alone namaz. You are waiting for safety. You are reading tahajjud. So when you can uphold the law of tahajjud in the middle of the night, why? Then the other laws is also easy for you. The other namazan is also easy for you. In the month of Ramadan, my servant, you are leaving out your permissible food and drink. You are leaving your permissible, your halal wife. So when you can leave out permissible things, how is it difficult for you to, it's not difficult for you to stay away from any permissible things. Then in the month of Ramadan, Allah never mentioned in which month a person should fast. Therefore, the next verse is down, Shahr Ramadan. That it is the month of Ramadan where a person will be fasting. And if it is this month, rain, the Quran has also been revealed. The month of Ramadan, the root words are Ramadan Yadud, which means Jalan to burn. So, in other words, the person who burns himself in this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will burn all his bad habits, and Allah ta'ala will burn all his sins. Imam Azam Ashabi Sahib Rahmatullah, he says that in the month of Ramadan, the most virtuous amal is the amal of reciting the Quran Sharif. Thereafter, the next verse, Allah Ta'ala says, speak about dua. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. That if my servants have to ask about me, then tell them I am very near. I accept their dua. Ibn Kathir Rahimahullah says that over here is Ishara that Allah Ta'ala brought this verse of dua after fasting.
It shows that in the month of Ramadan, at the time of Iftar, it is a time when du'as are accepted. So exert yourself in making du'as in the month of Ramadan. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, at the time of Iftar, he would call all his family members, his wife and his children, and he would tell them, this is a very mubarak time for du'a, so please, so come, let's all make du'a. وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِينَ يُسَبِّحُونَ. There are certain malaika that make the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those malaika, Allah Ta'ala tells them in the month of Ramadan, that go down and say Ameen to the dua of those that are fasting in the month of Ramadan. Hadha hadith comes that Allah Ta'ala does not reject last word, the dua of three people. One is Al-Imam Al-Adil, the person, Adil Baksha. Number two is a person who's fasting until he breaks his fast. And number three is a person who is oppressed. Once there was a family who was living in a very poor area. So the wife one day told the husband that, you know, the month of Ramadan is coming. Let's in this month of Ramadan make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Allah to give us a nice house. We stay in a small house is difficult. So now the husband started laughing that we stay in a small house. Where are we going to have our own house? We cannot afford it at all. So then the wife, she came to George and she said that I will make dua to Allah to give us a house and to give us a house where there is a stream also. So anyway, the husband took it as a joke and they carried on. The month of Ramadan came, they were making dua. After the month of Ramadan had passed, the husband jokingly went to the wife and said that, you know, you're making dua for the house, what happened, where is your house? Anyway, she was a servant of Allah, she kept quiet. It was day of Eid or the day after Eid. The husband went to the masjid. As he was coming out, he met one person. And he told this person told him that, you know, myself and my wife, we own, we have this house, we're planning to give it away to somebody. So I told myself, the person who I see coming out of the masjid first, I will give it to him. So I see you came out first, I'm planning to give it to you. So the husband was shocked. Thereafter, long story short, they went in the house. Thereafter, they had a question. That, you know, when you were making dua, you made dua that, oh Allah, we must have a house and there must be a stream also. But how come Allah accepted one part of the dua and never accept the other part of the dua? So it was something then they went to the Imam. When they went to the Imam said, okay, let me come and see the house. When they went to see the house, so they saw that the house was there, it was close to the masjid. So the Imam said that don't worry, a dua is accepted. Because in another hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam resembles the masjid to a stream. So Allah Ta'ala accepted the dua, Allah Ta'ala gave them a house, and Allah Ta'ala gave them a house in front of the masjid. Then the next, Allah Ta'ala mentions, لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِاللَّاطِلِ. That do not usurp each other's wealth, do not take wealth in a wrongful manner. Over here, Allah Ta'ala mentions it after siyam, after fasting. Mu'ayyidah rahmatullahi explained, said over here there is ishara that when a person is breaking his fast, then he should ensure that he breaks his fast with complete halal food. Imam Shafi Rahmatullahi says, if a person eats halal, then even halal and tayyibah, and even if he wants to do haram, automatically he will be forced to do only halal and those that will please, actually will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, if a person eats haram, then even if a person wants to become pious, but still so, because of his haram, his body is not supporting towards haram. Then, when it comes to Ramadan, we look at the moon. So there's the next verse, the next ruku' Allah Ta'ala speaks about the lunar calendar. And there are many ahkam that are linked to the lunar calendar. And Allah Ta'ala speaks about Hajj. Allah Ta'ala, after speaking about the third pillar of Islam, which is fasting, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the next pillar, which is Hajj. And then Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That among the people, there are some that when they make dua only for dunya. And such people, they won't have any shame in the akhirah. Then there are those people when they make dua for goodness in dunya, and they make dua for goodness in akhirah. Now, the dua is so encompassing that in the Tafsir al-Asmani, it is mentioned that this dua, رَبَّنَا أَعْتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً, it brings zahiri and batini goodness. It contains good health for the family. رِزْقِ حَلَالِ وَسْعَةً. Allah has asked Allah Ta'ala for wus'at in a person's sustenance. It is the fulfillment of all a person's dunya needs. It contains ilmi nafi, akhlaqi mahmuda, a'mal salihah, respect, aqaid hidurusi, صراط المستقيم کی ہدایت عبادات میں اخلاص اور جیسے وہ دیکھا دنیا دے وہ پھر آخرت حسنا دیٹ انکلوڈز جنت the countless bounty of jannat and Allah Taala and the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala and be able to see Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala on the day of resurrection. This dua is mentioned that the Nabi Alayhi Salaam has made a concise dua. And Nabi Alayhi Salaam always included this dua. And if Nabi Alayhi Salaam has made a long dua, Nabi Alayhi Salaam would mention this dua in the beginning, in the middle, and in the ending. From this we can understand the importance and the great significance the power has, this dua. Since many, the Surah Baqarah has many, many laws, so Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is saying that Udhukulu Fisin Mikafa, that enter into Islam and enter into Islam in totality. Then another mention that difference, that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam different questions. Yas'alunaka maza yunfikun, yas'alunaka an ash-shahr al-haram, yas'alunaka an al-khamri wal-maisir. So Allah Ta'ala is teaching us over here that when it comes to your deen also, shifa al-ilmi as-suwal, that whenever you have any question, you are not sure, you are not certain about anything, then go and ask. Fas'alu ahla zikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. Then for a person to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one aspect which is most very, very effective is suhbat, is the companionship. So when it comes to companionship, a person is mostly in contact with his wife. So Nabi Allah Ta'ala mentioned, لَا تَلْفَ مُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنِ. That when if you have to marry, then do not marry a mushrik woman. Even though she may please you, she may seem very, very beautiful, but do not marry her. And if this Allah Ta'ala spoke about nikah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into the details, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the hayy, and when a person can be intimate with his wife, when he cannot be intimate with his wife, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the laws of ilah, Allah Ta'ala speaks about iddat, Allah Ta'ala speaks about talaq. When it comes to talaq, in the mushrikeen, they say they would give their wives many hundreds of talaq, but still they would stay with their wives. And Islam came down and stipulated that a person can give his wife maximum three talaq. And after three talaq, she cannot come back to him without halal. Over here also, there's one very important thing to note. If a person has to divorce his wife once, he can still go back to his wife. If a person has to divorce his wife twice, he can still go back to his wife. If a person has to divorce his wife thrice, there is still a chance that after halal and all that for him to go back to his wife. But there is one masala where a person cannot go back to his wife at all. And that is the masala of Qumrat al-Nusarat according to some Madaib. When if a person has touched his mother-in-law, or if your wife has to touch her father-in-law, your father, with luck, then thereafter the nikah automatically breaks, and there's no way for a person to go back. Especially in this time, when you are living in such a toxic era, it is important that out of respect we try and keep a safe distance. Al-Qadha continues mentioning the laws of Salah, and thereafter Al-Qadha says, Alam Salah ilan ladhina kharaju min diyarihim, wahum ulufun hajar al-maut. Al-Qadha speaks about death. What is the punishment? Allah Ta'ala spoke about nikah, talaq, and now Allah Ta'ala is speaking about death. So Allah Ma'idita Maqtula, he says that now, after mentioning the laws of mahar, and about staying with your wife, remember that if you have to treat your wife badly, there is a time is coming when you will face death, and you will come to me, and I will, whatever zulm is done on her, and I will catch him on the day of Qiyamah. Over here Allah Ta'ala is speaking about a specific incident, which happened with the Bani Israel, where there was a plague which took place. So when the plague took place, the Bani Israel ran away from the house, kharaju min diyarihim, and there were thousands of them. And their wives were running away out of fear of death. And despite them running away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them death. And this was in the time of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam saw that so many of Bani Israel are dead. He made dua that Allah give them back life. Summa ahyaum, Allah brought them back to life. Allah wanted to show that no matter where you run away, whether it is jihad, whether it is sickness, life and death is solely in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala continues speaking about Shinwin alayhi salam. That in his time also the Bani Israel, they were being oppressed. They had an oppressive ruler over them. When they had an oppressive ruler over them, they asked Shinwin alayhi salam that appoint for us a king so that we may go and fight. We may go and fight the people who are oppressing us. So he appointed for them Talut. And he appointed for them Jalut. And when he was appointed, the first they were objecting that how can he be our king, whereas we are more worthy than him. So Shinwin alayhi salam replied and said that Allah Ta'ala has chosen him, and Allah Ta'ala has given him strength, bodily, and Allah Ta'ala has given him lot of knowledge. Then they went to make jihad, and Allah Ta'ala has granted them victory. When we went to fight when they were on the battlefield, there were only 313 of them left. And they were facing odds of over 1,000. They made dua, Rabbana afrigh alayna sabra, that, O Allah, send down upon us patience and make our feet very, very firm and help us against the disbelievers. When they went, Allah granted them victory. And here Allah is teaching us that now, since there are so many laws that were revealed and that were revealed here in Surah Baqarah, and don't be frightened. Come in fi'atin qalilatin ghalabat fi'atin kathiratan bi'idhnillah. Have you not seen it so many times it has happened where a small army has defeated a large army, like how it is here in this case, and like how it was in the time in the Battle of Badr, where the Sahaba and Nabi alayhi salam were very, very few, but they defeated all the kuffar. Somebody over here, a person who will bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will make it easy for him to fulfill all the laws of Islam. Then Allah ta'ala starts telling the Rasul of Allah ba'dahum ala ba'd. After speaking about Hizqiyil alayhi salam, Shimil alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala says among the Anbiya alayhi salam, they are different than. And the one that possesses the highest rank is none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After speaking about Risalat, Allah Ta'ala speaks about Tawheed, Allah Ta'ala speaks about his greatness. And Allah Ta'ala brings the ayat al-Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum. And this verse, Nabi alayhi wa sallam wants us to read in Ka'b, that Ya'ara Mundir, that which is the most obvious verse of the entire Quran. He said, that only of Allah, it is ayat al-Kursi. Nabi alayhi wa sallam said, yes, you are correct, it is ayat al-Kursi. He mentioned that the one who will recite the ayat al-Kursi after Salah, that there will be no barrier between him and Jannat besides death. The one who was recited at night, then he will be secured. There will be no harm that will come to him. Allah Ta'ala carried on speaking about his greatness and how Allah Ta'ala gave life to the death. First, Allah Ta'ala gave the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam when he had a debate with Namrud. Now the king of that time, he would make it binding upon everybody to make sajda to him. So when he came to Ibrahim alayhi salam, he refused to make sajda. And then this is how, and Ibrahim alayhi salam said, I only make sajda to Allah. So he asked, who is Allah? He said, my Allah is just Yuhyi wa Yumeet, who gives life and he gives death. So he replied and said, I also give life and death. So he called one prisoner and he killed him. And then he called another prisoner and he set him free. So thereafter Ibrahim alayhi salam gave another argument. And he said, my Allah, he brings the sun out from one side and he makes it set from the other side. Thereafter the Namrud was baffled. Thereafter, Allah brings another story of Hazrat Uzair alayhi salam. Hazrat Uzair alayhi salam, he was passing by Qawq al-Lati Mar'a al-Qadiyah. When he reads down from Hazrat Uzair, he mentions that Qadiyah was Bayt al-Muqaddas. That way, there was a very oppressive king over them and he killed them. So as he was passing by them, and he saw the ruins, he saw how everybody is dead. So he said, oh, Anna yuhyi hadhihi al-Ardha. How is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give life to this after they are dead? So in order to teach him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him death. Now when Uzair alayhi salam was there, he had with him his food and drink, and he had his donkey with him. So that is Allah ta'ala gave him death, and Allah revived him after 100 years. After Allah ta'ala had revived him after 100 years, Allah asked him, come with me, for how long have you remained in this condition? He said, I remained for a day or a portion of a day. Allah ta'ala told him, no, you stayed in this condition for 100 years, and look at your food, look at your drink. That I have left it safe and sound. Nothing happened to your food and drink. On the other hand, look at your donkey. The donkey was in such a condition that it was totally decomposed. And it was finished. The bones, everything was finished. So in this way, Allah showed the greatness and how Allah Ta'ala brings back to life. Number one, how Allah brought him back to life. The food, which normally gets off very, very quickly, Allah kept it safe and sound. And thereafter, the donkey also Allah brought it back to life while it was, the bones, everything was disintegrated, etc. Then Allah Ta'ala mentioned the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam again. When he told Allah, oh Allah, show me how you lie to the death. So he said, oh Ibrahim, don't you believe? He said, oh Allah, I believe, but just for the itminan al-qalb, just for my heart to be safe and sound, I want to see. So Allah Ta'ala told him, take four birds. Take four birds, and thereafter, kill it, and mix it up, make it kasumba and everything, and thereafter put it on different mountains. When you put it on different mountains, there are some calls towards you. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he did it. He took four birds. And according to these different something, the four birds which he took was, number one, a crow. Number two, a pigeon. Number three, a rooster. And number four, a peacock. So he took all these four, he killed it, and he mixed up all. He mixed up all together, and thereafter, he separated the meat into four. And he put all four on four different mountains. And according to some, they mentioned the head is kept behind him. Thereafter, he called it towards him. When he called it towards him, each one, they came back, taking their form, everything, and they came back exactly in their original form after they were dead. So, in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Ibrahim alayhi salam how he gives life to the dead. After mentioning, Allah mentioned about Maut, and he mentioned Allah Ta'ala's greatness. Now, Allah Ta'ala is telling us that, now don't forget, I told you who I am, now you are going to be coming to me. So now take your tosha, take your provision for the akhirah. And Allah Ta'ala says, مَثَلَ الَّذِينَ يُنْشِكُونَ Allah Ta'ala speaks about sadaqah. Allah Ta'ala speaks about spending in his path. And Allah Ta'ala says that now you are achieving sadaqah, don't destroy your sadaqah. How you destroy your sadaqah? By expanding your nana. By you telling, reminding the person of your favors. And also by calling harm to that person. And Allah Ta'ala says that now when you are giving sadaqah, normally a person will think that his wealth is decreasing. So this is Allah Ta'ala says, Shaitan, Yahudu will suffer. This is Shaitan who is making you frightened that you will become poor. Whereas if you give sadaqah, yulhifu Allahu riba. Wa yulhifu sadaqah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives rise. Allah Ta'ala increases your wealth when you give sadaqah. And when you are giving, when you are taking, engaging in interest, apparently it looks like your wealth is increasing. But in fact, your wealth is decreasing. Because sadaqah is something which has a bit of mujarada, Allah Ta'ala says, don't worry. Whatever you spend, it is only and only for your benefit. And whatever you spend, you will see on the day of Qiyamah when you will come. Allah Ta'ala says, those who spend their wealth day and night, openly and secretly, for them I prepare a very, very special reward, and there will be no fear upon them, and they shall not grieve. Hereafter, the opposite of sadaqah is riba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about riba, that now when you engage in riba, your wealth is actually decreasing. When I'm not saying his experience, that whoever engages in riba, in 40 years' time, either the person will see it or his family members will see it, where you will see your entire empire coming down. Then, in two a'mal, when you look at the hadith, Quran and hadith, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares war, one is when it comes to riba and interest. And number two, it comes when a person interferes and troubles a pious friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wages war against such a person. Then Allah Ta'ala mentions the longest verse of the Quran. Muhammad ibn Abdullah mentions in this verse of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala had a lot of mercy. And why Allah Ta'ala had a lot of mercy? Because the world has no significance in the sight of Allah. But despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought down so many, the longest ayat in the Quran with regards to business and how a person should do his transaction. Then after towards coming towards the end of Surah Baqarah, Allah Ta'ala says, there are many laws that have come down. So what you must do, what the Allah, you just see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will guide you, wa yu'allimukum Allah. Allah will show you what to do. Then the last ruku, which is a very, very blessed ruku. There are many, many virtues that are mentioned regarding this ruku. The from Amana the Surah till the end, it is mentioned that the one who recites this during the day, he will be protected from shaitan till the evening. Whoever will read it in the evening, he will be protected from shaitan till the morning. Whoever will recite it at night, he will get the reward of Laylatul Qadr. And whoever will recite it at night, kafatahu, he will be sufficient for him from all types of harm. And the one who will recite it in the morning, there will be no unpleasant surprise that will come to him in his family and wealth. Mentioned that this ruku is there for an insane person, he will be cured. And the house where this is mentioned, is there, shaitan will not enter from that house. After mentioning all this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that now don't be like the Bani Israel. That when they were presented with the laws of Allah, they said, Sami'na wa ati'na. We hear and we just obey. But rather say, Sami'na wa ati'na. We hear and we obey. And if you come and if you have any business, then ask Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. La ta'atina inna sina wa ta'na. And wa'afu anna. That Allah forgive us. Wa'afu anna means that Allah cancel all the effect of our sin. When a person commits a sin, then one is his body can testify against him. Then the earth can testify against him. Kiram al-Kafidin can testify and one is his namai amal. So when we ask him, Allah, Ufu anna, we ask him, Allah, destroy all the evidence from all these four. Then Mughfidana. Mughfidana means, bi izhari jameel wa sattari al-qabir. That Allah, you forgive us in such a way that you only show that which is good and do not show any of our weaknesses. Warhamna. Warhamna means, that Allah tafaddal alayna bi fununin ala ma istihqaqina bi afanin al-iqab. That Allah show us mercy and be gracious to us, despite us being worthy of, despite us being worthy of iqab and punishment.